Greetings. The teaching this week will be Yahweh as judge of the lawless. And why do we have the resurrection of the unjust? We always have Yahweh as a God of Ahab, but we've also got to remember that he is righteousness is very important. And justice is very important. So we just went over Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. And who would like to do it by themselves? Melania, thank you for stepping up. Go ahead.
So we can understand it. I was having trouble.
Yeah, speak. For I will say it. Thus saith Yahweh, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but in this let the glorying one glory in having intelligence and knowing me, that I am Yahweh, executing a said justice and righteousness in the earth, that in these things I delight. So justice is what we're going to be talking about tonight. Yahweh is a God of justice. Whenever we look at this book in our lives, we're trying to get together of a narrative. What is the beginning of the story and what is the end of the story? So we can understand that everything in the middle has to fit. So here it is. Yahweh created mankind for the earth to reign on the earth. That was Garden of Eden. Mankind committed adultery and he dies. How did he commit adultery? He was unfaithful to who?
Yahweh.
Unfaithful, that is adultery. He died, which equals justice. Was that a just thing for the consequence of disobedience? Yeah, the consequence of the death. That is justice. A Savior was promised. It equals life for those who will bow to him. Then we begin with the first child on planet Earth, who was named what?
Cain.
What do we know him for?
Murder.
He's a murderer. Great introduction. Yeah, he's a murderer.
First grandson.
And who did he murder?
Abel.
Who's that?
His brother.
His brother. Why? Because his words were evil and his brothers were righteous. What a reason. I mean, that is it. But this is what we're talking about. And that's rebellion for Cain. And Abel is obedience. So everybody in this world, you're going to have one or the other. You're going to have obedience or rebellion. And we're going to say Christ redeemed us. Christ comes, redeems us. He's going to be the king of the new earth, which is his reward. And then we're going to have the resurrection of the just, which is Abel. And we're going to have the resurrection of the unjust, which is who?
Cain.
So our story is very simple. Half the world is evil, and half the world can be righteous. Theoretically, the evil ones wants to do what with us?
Kill us.
All right, that's what they do. And then after that, we get into the new earth, and the new earth puts us right back to the beginning of paradise. But guess who's going to be on the new earth? Only those who obey and bow to Christ and Yahweh. And the rest of the people, where are they going to be? Well, you know, where?
Lake of fire.
Perish. Gone.
Burned up.
Boost. But there's something that we must understand is, and that's called the second death, which is just. And we're going to have a crimeless society. And this is Revelations 21, where guess what? None of those people exist anymore. They can't bother us. They can't break the rules. They can't break the laws. And that's the beginning of the story. Now we're where we're supposed to have been. Back in Genesis 1, we're with Yahweh on earth where no creeps are there and no serpents are there and no adversaries are there. But we have to deal with justice. You know. What do we do with people who hurt us? So there's two kind of crimes. One is a crime where the person hurts themselves, like an alcoholic. They drink themselves to death. Okay, but they don't hurt anybody else. Well, they kind of, when Yahweh raises them up, this is called everybody, one thing too is, the bad people, when they die, that's not the end. Right. They're coming back to life, and they're going to be judged for what they've done. And they're not going to be in the new earth, but they're going to be judged by what they've done. And so it could have been very simple for Yahweh just to said, once you die here, you're done, end of story. And there is no resurrection of the unjust. But since Yahweh is a just God, there has to be a resurrection of the just. And this is very explainable. When somebody makes a crime of, a victim receives a crime, then everything changes. So I'm a person that somebody kills my daughter. How do I repair that?
Yeah.
You can't. So what is just for that person? What should that person go through?
Yeah.
What happens if the person raped and pillaged and cut your hands off? I mean, there are hideous things that people have done. Things you would never even imagine they're doing today. The police see it all the time. What about these people? Would it be just to kill them and that would be the end of them?
No.
No, that's not justice because I deserve justice.
Right.
You know, I got something taken away from me that cannot be restored.
Well, your daughter got something taken away.
Well, yeah, but, yeah, that's right. But this is what we started looking at. Now, what can Yahweh do? And Yahweh is a God of justice, and so He is going to torment these people. And a justice would be, it's not hell, because we know hell is an everlasting torment. There is no such thing as hell. We've gone that on other lessons. But the purpose of the resurrection of the unjust is vengeance. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Very simply. And we have to have that to become whole again. If a person rapes and murders somebody, what should be the consequences of their sin? The same. Even worse. Because death is easy. Put a ball to a person's head, they're dead. What the heck was that? That's not justice. They ruined somebody else's life. They did hideous things. How about Hitler who killed millions of people? A bullet to the head, is that fair? That's his payment? He went to sleep? No, it's not his payment. It can't be, because that's not just. That's not justice. And so we're going to see what Yahweh is going to do with people. And we saw a point of it was in Revelations chapter 9, which we get to and see it, that he does this, and he does that in the book of Exodus, and he's issuing justice because we're going to find out when somebody stole four sheep, their penalty of restitution was 7. All right, it was always more. If they only had to replace what they stole, then that's not restoring me, that's just putting me back to what I was. So with a crime of passion on an individual, even to do what they did is not even justice. It would have to be double that, right? Double what you've done.
It was sevenfold.
Yeah. Well, but you're looking at it can't be just okay. You rape somebody. Well, you need to be raped. All right. So you skin somebody alive, you need to be skinned alive. You put somebody's eyes out, or you're going to put somebody's eye. We're going to put your eyes out. But that's just equal. You should get more than that. You're doing that. So we've got to realize in the Word, there's something called justice, and justice is righteous. Now, who knows exactly what kind of punishment to deliver?
Yahweh.
He knows exactly what the person deserves, or otherwise they're off scot-free. So we will begin in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, page 211. And people don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, it's faithful.
But if your children were killed by the Carr brothers,
yeah,
and raped and murdered, how do you feel if they just got put to death? Is that just? Are you all right now? No, that's the bare minimum that should happen to these people. That's actually bare minimum. I am not content.
What did you say, first or second?
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse, let me see, 3. That's page 211. We are bound to be giving thanks unto Yahweh continually concerning you, brethren, even as it is meet. Because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of each one of you all, one to another, aboundeth. so that we ourselves and you are boasting in the assemblies of Yahweh over your endurance and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which ye are sustaining. These guys are helping people, and they're getting evil done to them.
Yeah.
Right? A proof of the righteous... Now watch this. A proof of the righteous judgment of Yahweh, to the end ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of Yahweh, in behalf of which ye are also suffering. If at least it is a righteous thing with Yahweh to recompense... Very impensive. To recompense affliction... And affliction is the Greek word thalipos. And that's number 2347. Is to press, squash, or hem in. Figuratively, to afflict, harass, to discomfort, to oppress. It is a righteous thing with Yahweh to recompense affliction unto them that what?
Afflict
you. Obviously. And unto you that are afflicted, release with us by the revealing of the Lord Yahushua from heaven, with his messengers of power in a flaming fire,
in a fiery flame,
holding forth vengeance. Vengeance is ekdikasis, and it means meeting out of justice. Holding forth vengeance against them that do what? Refuse to know Yahweh. So, this is the person who does not bow to the Creator is refusing to know. That's rebellion. That is Cain. Refusing to know Yahweh, and them who decline to hearken unto the glad message of our Lord Yahushua, who indeed, what?
A penalty
shall pay. Age abiding destruction from the face of Yahweh and from the glory of his might. Whensoever he shall come to make all glorious in his saints, be marveled at all who believe, because our witness unto you was believed in that day. There we go. Yahweh is going to come back with vengeance. And Romans chapter 12, verse 19, page 161.
What chapter?
Chapter 12, verse 19, page 161. Not avenging yourselves, beloved, but give place unto their anger. For it is written, and Melania, read that.
Where are we?
Okay, Isaiah, read it. Nobody's there? Chapter 12, verse 19. Chapter 12, verse 19.
Turn the page.
Never mind. For it is written, mine is avenging. I will recompense, saith Yahweh. Mine is avenging. I will recompense. And so, is he promising to perform justice on the evildoers?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he will. Is that just? Yes, it is. And Hebrews 10:30, verse 31 says the same verse. Now we go with the lawless. Psalms 11, verse 4 through 7, page 533. Got a lot of verses, so stay up, kiddos. So there's evil people.
Wait a minute, what's
chapter 11.
Maria, no, Psalm.
Or Psalm 11, sorry. Okay. Psalm 11, I'm going to read 4 through 7. Is the adversary evil?
Yes.
Is he going to be tortured?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Is the beast, the wild beast, and the beast evil?
Yes.
Those are the three who are going to be thrown into the lake of fire alive.
While they're alive. Yeah.
Alive. Justice is going to be served on those three. And they deserve it. And what about the rest of the people? We'll see. Verse 4, Yahweh is in his holy temple. As for Yahweh in the heavens is his throne. His eyes behold, his eyelashes test the sons of men. Yahweh puts the righteous to the test, but the lawless one and the lover of violence. There are people who love evil, violence. And that's the Democratic Party today. The Democratic Party, Obama, the Clintons, they love violence. They love evil. They're workers of iniquity, and they also will be judged for their wickedness that they have done. But the lawless one and the lover of violence his soul doth hate. He will rain upon the lawless live coals. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind are the portion of their cup. This is torture. It's righteousness. For righteous is Yahweh, righteousness he loveth. The upright shall behold his face. Yahweh loves righteousness. Why is there a resurrection of the unjust? And it has to be they're going to end up paying for their crimes. As it's justice. And so Yahweh can dish it out to each one according to the proportion. These are the people who refuse to bow to Yahweh. And they refuse to bow to Christ. And they have hurt people. And they have hurt Yahweh. So we go to Matthew chapter 25, page 29. We're probably not going to read it all. It's supposed to be 31 to 46. I don't think we'll have time. But I'll read some of it. But whensoever the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and that is in the book of Revelation, and all the messengers with him, that's I assume is going to be us, and with his other messengers, then will he sit on his throne of glory, and there will be gathered unto him all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep indeed on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And we know with the good ones, you know, works are very important. I mean, doing works, we're in an age of grace, but doing righteous works is absolutely paramount. And that's what this is doing. People are being divided because of their works. And we're going to see the goats, which is in 41. Then what he's saying to those on his left hand, depart ye from me, accursed ones, into the age of abiding fire which has been prepared for the adversary and his messengers. For I hungered and you gave me not to eat. There's two rules when a person is born. Even if they don't know who Yahweh is, what are those two commandments that everybody can figure out? Go ahead.
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Love thy neighbor as thyself. Very simple. What's the other one?
Love God with all your heart, soul, strength.
Yeah, bow down to the Creator.
Even if you
which is loving
name.
Your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Everybody knows this. It's called imprinted. A goose knows to go south for the winter, right? Do they have to think about that? No, it's innate. It's already put inside of every man, woman, and child as of age know to love the Creator. They don't know who He is. Unless they've got instruction, and to don't do the things to people that you wouldn't want done to yourself. Nobody has to teach you that. These people did not. 42, for I hungered, and you gave me not to drink. Well, if you're hungry, would you want me to give you, not to eat? If I'm hungry, would I want somebody to give me something to eat? Yeah, but you didn't do that, did you? For I hungered, and you gave me not to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me not to drink. A stranger was I, and you took me not home. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then will they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and ministered not unto thee? Then will he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these least, neither unto me did you do it, or did ye it. And these shall go away into age-abiding correction, but the righteous into age-abiding what?
Life.
Very simple. Now we go to John 5, verse 28, page 97. Melania, read 28 to 29.
All right. Do not be marveling at this, because there cometh an hour in which all they in the tombs shall hearken unto his voice, and shall come forth they who the good things have done unto a resurrection of life, But they, who the corrupt things have practiced, unto a resurrection of judgment.
Wow, why are you resurrecting these people? Because you're going to judge them. They're going to be judged. Revelation chapter 20.
It's interesting. It says age abiding correction.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Discuss that later on, but that's not part of the situation. Revelation chapter 20, page 265, last book, verse 5 and 6. Elijah 5 and 6, please.
21, 5 and 6?
No, 20. Revelation 20, 5 and 6.
And the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were ended. This was the first resurrection. Happy and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Upon these, the second death hath no authority, but they shall be priests of Elohim and of the Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years.
Okay, now we go to verse 11 to 15, Esther.
Okay. Then I saw a great white throne, and him that was sitting there on, from whose face fled the earth and heaven, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. And death.
So they were judged. This is the judgment day. Go ahead, 14.
And death and Hades were cast out into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found in the book of life written, he was cast into the lake of fire.
Good. And that's what's going to happen. But we must realize that they're going to have to pay a price first for justice. Go here. So Yahweh's judgment on the lawless, more than death, it must equal justice. So with some of them, if you ate yourself to death, you know, you didn't hurt anybody except yourself. So I can see that, you know, you paid your price, you died a horrible death, you're an alcoholic, and the people are going to be judged in the earth also for their wickedness, as much as they can do it. But as we know, there are certain people that did terrible things, and it looks like they got away with it. And we got to say, what about those people? Now we go to Psalms 96, page 580, verse 11. But let the heavens rejoice and the earth exult. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field leap for joy and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the forest shout in triumph before Yahweh, for he is coming. For he is coming to do what?
To judge
the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and his people and his faithfulness. And the people's in his faithfulness. Judging can also mean you did a great job, Esther. So here's your new palace, and that's what you want. So judgment can be good, and it also can be Elijah. You murder somebody, and you murdered 10 different people, right, and you enjoyed it. So you're going to pay for that, and here's the penance you're going to pay for that.
Just remember that. When you go to sleep tonight.
So we go to Exodus chapter 3, and there are people out there, and they're in the mob, and they're
in communist countries. And children in Joshua's generation, what some of them have gone through.
It's just, you look at some of these wars, and it's just, you can't imagine a human being would actually do such a thing. And they're doing it all the time. They're doing it today. And so we got to have justice.
We'll be punished.
And we've got to have justice. And Yahweh says there will be justice. Leave it up to me. Chapter 3, verse 7.
I didn't hear the book.
Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And this is important because Yahweh's explaining his justice on the Egyptians. Then said Yahweh, I have seen the humiliation of my people who are in Egypt, and their outcry have I heard by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their pains. Therefore have I come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to take them up out of that land into a land good and large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hepites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, lo, the outcries of the sons of Israel have come in unto me. And that's anybody who's had injustice done to them. Moreover also, I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now therefore come thou, that I may send thee unto Pharaoh, and bring thou forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. And we know one of the things that Yahweh did is Exodus chapter 9, verse 8.
And said Yahweh unto Moses and unto Aaron, take you henceforth the ashes of Nevin and Moses, and scatter them towards the heavens before the eyes of Pharaoh. Then shall they become fine dust over the land of Egypt, and so become on man and on beast, and burning sore, breaking down pustules in all the land of Egypt. So they took the ashes of Nevin and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them towards the heavens. And it came to pass that there was a burning sore and pustules breaking among men and among beasts, and the scattered scribes could not stand before Moses because the burning sore, for the burning sore had come on the sacred scribes and on all the Egyptians.
Is that justice? Yeah. Who inflicted that?
Yeah.
Did that hurt them?
Yeah.
Did they deserve to be hurt?
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
He's saying, let my people go. You're not going to let them go? Okay. And we know all the other, you know, there's 10 plagues altogether. It's going to happen in the book of Revelation, as Isaiah went through. Revelation chapter 6. We are so taught. We're like in a new age environment. And love, 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 love. And what we want is, we're talking about hugging, and we're not talking about doing the will of Yahweh, which is what love is. Love is obeying His will. And if His will says speak in tongues, then you speak in tongues. If He says prophesy, you speak in tongues. Prophesy, that is love. But a person says, well, I'm not going to speak in tongues. Well, then why do you say love? You say you love Yahweh, but you don't do what He says. Right? I mean, don't give me this stuff. I just want affection. And so you never had somebody killed. You never had somebody raped. You never had your house torched or your family member dismembered who was righteous, or his eyes put out, or he put in jail for his whole life. And like Jeremiah, poor thing, was some of these prophets have done. You know, you never had that experience. And so you live in a little sheltered world. That is not what Yahweh has in mind, and your mind is wrong because you need to be where Yahweh has it. So in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17, justice is being done by Yahweh. 12 through 17, and I saw when he opened the sixth seal that a great earthquake took place, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the full moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree shaking her winter figs. And by a great wind it is shaken, and the heavens were drawn as a scroll, rolling itself up, and every mountain and island out of their places were shaken. Let me ask you another thing, too. Besides this, how about the people before Noah? Were these good people?
No.
Every intention of their heart was evil. Is drowning a nice way to die?
No.
No. You know, how long can you tread water? What it comes down to. And you got 40 days to think about it. That's judgment. Why it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Because you can go float around on a raft or a piece of wood or a tree, but guess what's going to happen? You're going to die of hunger. right? If you do vote on things, you think about the wickedness that you've actually done. Because Yahweh could have just wiped them all out with, boom, a nuclear bomb, and they're all gone. Now, I want you to justice for all the wickedness that you've done to other people and to Noah, and Noah's rising above their own. Verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rulers of thousands, the rich and the mighty and every bondman and freeman hid themselves within the caves and within the rocks of the mountains. Good. This is called vengeance. This is payback. All right? You want to mock Yahweh, you want to kill his prophets, you want to kill his people, you want to celebrate, you want to fornicate, you want to do every kind of sin that you've got. I'm going to rock the earth until you're shaken in your boots. And they said unto the mountains and to the rocks, fall upon us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the anger of the Lamb. Oh, Christ can come down and give hugs? Christ shirt, free hugs? No, the anger. Because the great day of their anger is come. And who is able to stand? Does Christ get angry when a child is molested? Or when a child is sold into slavery? Or when a child is used for whatever reason, or killed, or dismembered, or tortured in the basement? No, he's angry. And you said it should be, obviously. Now we go to chapter 9, verse 1 through 12. Let me just get into the good stuff. These are creatures that are there for a particular purpose. People in the book of Revelation are there because Christ was not their Lord.
They chose to be.
Yeah, they chose there. Whether they like it or not, by refusing to make Christ your Lord, you were not taken in when Christ came back. So this is it. This is the last call. It's giving you some chance to think about this. And we're going to, like with the Egyptians, you really don't want Christ to be your Lord? Well, have a little bit of this. Yeah. You really don't want Moses to go? Have a little bit of this. And some of them are going to be converted. The majority doesn't appear that they are. And so I'm going to get your attentions. And that's in verse 3. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and there was given unto them license, as the scorpions of the earth have license. And it was bidden them that they should not injure the herbage of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only the men who have not the seal of Yahweh upon their forehead. So you decide not to do this. You decide to hide and say you're not a Christian, whatever. You took the mark of the beast. Here's what you got. And it was given unto them that they should not slay them. See, that's the easy way. Killing somebody's easy. You know, anybody, like you said, would die for your country. But how would you like to be the Apostle Paul? You're whipped 200 times. I mean, dying's easy. You know, so that they should not slay them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And the torture of them was as if scorpions torture whensoever it smiteth a man. And in those days shall men seek death, because that's a way out. And as no wise shall find it, and shall covet to die, and flesh fleeth from them. Or death fleeth from them. And the likeness, and it goes on and on. Yahweh does this. You know, so we've got to realize, and why? Because this is justice. And he's trying to turn these particular people to say, okay, you know, I was wrong, I was deceived. Now we go to chapter 19. Well, we already know that. I'm just going to go to chapter 19 through 20. The beast and the wild beast are really good guys, aren't they? No, they're the ones who are rebelling against Yahweh. They're thrown into the lake of fire alive, and so is the adversary, which is Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Now let's go to Isaiah 13, verse 9, page 659. So it's consistent. This is the whole word of Yahweh. You have to see who Yahweh is, and justice and vengeance is his. He will repay. That's a promise. Why does he tell us that? because I don't want to kill this guy, because he killed my family member. And Yahweh says, don't worry about it. Don't do it. I'm going to do it. Okay. And that gives me a sense of justice. I can sleep at night. And so the Carr brothers are going to get theirs. The state of Canada, these are the people who murdered like six teenagers and sodomized them. People on TV don't know. But the Carr brothers in Kansas. Yeah, Wichita, Kansas. They're alive today because the Supreme Court will not put them to death, which would be a little form of justice. So the Supreme Court will pay for their wickedness also. Amen. For the five members who, or four members who, keeping them alive. And in the same way with BDK, who was a mass murderer, he's up there alive also because of these judges. And so they'll pay. Just like the judges who approved abortion, the Supreme Court, they will pay. They will pay and vengeance is Yahweh's. He will repay these individuals. And he will repay us for doing righteousness. We're in great shape. Absolutely. Isaiah 13:9. Lo, the day of Yahweh coming in fierce and overflowing and burning with anger. You don't want to see Yahweh angry. To devote the earth to desolation, and her sinners will he destroy out of it. For the stars of the heaven and their constellations shall not flash forth their lights. Obscure shall be the sun in its going forth, and the moon shall not shed her light. And I will visit upon the inhabited earth what?
A calamity.
And whenever it's evil, Rotherham translates it calamity. And he does it in his preface. He says, I'm going to put Yahweh in the best light. So he tells you, I'm doing this. Right, but the word is evil. I'm going to have calamity. And upon the lawless their punishment. There's a lawless their punishment. And I will quiet the arrogance of the proud. That's the Democratic Party. And the Obamas and the Clintons. And the loftiness of tyrants will I lay low. And it goes on and on. So what we're trying to return unto them what their victims experienced. And so justice is really returning to you what you did to somebody else. And that is a little piece of justice. As we know, Yahweh delights in a said justice and righteousness. We know there is a throne of judgment, and we're all going to be judged, which is great. You know, because judgment is not bad if you're a good person. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, page 184.
If you sow righteousness, you look forward to the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to be judged. I can't wait. But you have to say, am I doing anything? Well, if I'm not doing anything, I'm not really excited about getting judged because I'm not really going to get anything. I'm not doing any bad things. And that's good. But Yahweh said, okay, Isaiah, what did you do for me today? Well, I didn't hate my mother. Does that count? No, that doesn't count. Okay, so you got zero today? Yeah, I guess I got zero.
I did. I got zero.
Yeah, you got zero. You have to say, okay, I don't want zero. You know, I want trophies. I want houses, and I want plantations, and
like they used to say in the Olympics, you come before the Bema, the judgment seat. We don't go there to get our hands cut off or our eyes put out. We go up there to receive, like you, when you do well in football or in basketball, you go to be judged for how you did.
Yeah, but there's also a judgment of rewards. But if you haven't repented of a sin, if you're doing a sin and you're not trying to change it, then you're going to be judged for that. Very simply. We'll see that. So, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we all must needs be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ, that each one may get back things done by means of the body, according to the things which he practiced, whether what? Okay, good or corrupt. Hey, it goes both ways, doesn't it? If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So that can be cleansed. Yeah? And I deserve something, but I've been cleansed by the blood of Christ since I did repent. Then that's not coming back on me. And if I'm not taking that repentance, if I'm not turning from it, then I will be judged for it. Ephesians 6, verse 8. And so this is all the way through the epistles. Most people say, well, you're in the Old Testament. You're in the Old Testament. That was a different God. No, that's the same God. 6a, page 200. Knowing that each one, whatsoever he may do that is good, the same shall receive back from the Lord, whether bond or free. Okay, Colossians 3:24, page 207. 3:24-25. Whatsoever you may be doing, from the soul be working at it as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord ye shall duly receive the recompense of the inheritance. Unto the Lord Christ are you in service. For he that acted unrighteously shall get back what he had unrighteously done. Is this justice? Yeah. I mean, really, if I stole from somebody and I'm not going to give it back to them, what's the right thing to do?
Let them steal from you.
Yeah, I mean, you need to have something stolen from you. First, and we're going to find out what you're supposed to do is restitution. But he that acted unrighteously shall get back what he had unrighteously done, and there is no respect of persons. Very simply, don't do unrighteous things, and when you do unrighteous things, you repent. Ezekiel 33, page 8:24. Chapter 8:24, Ezekiel 33, 11 through 20. You know, you have family members who are doing wickedness. Then Christ is going to say, "Did you tell them?" No. And you're at fault. You know, when you see somebody doing sin, you need to approach them in a loving way and at the right time to say, the Bible says you can't do that. And I care about you. And if they say, oh, go to hell. Okay, well, that's not good. People don't like to be told what they're doing is wrong, do they? No. So are you going to get a good reaction?
Probably not.
Probably not. All right? Solomon, King Solomon, tried to kill people. They tried to kill the prophets because the prophets came and was telling them what they're doing wrong. And many times they did kill the prophets. But it's our job to speak that up. And then when Christ said, did you talk to them? What did he say, Elijah?
Yes.
Yes, I did. Amen. Reward. Here's $1,000. And for your kingdom. That's right. Did he speak to them? No. I want to be liked by them. They would be upset with me and they wouldn't invite me over to their house anymore if I told them that. And okay, guess what? No rewards. Right? And you actually did evil because you sat by and did nothing. And that's called an accessory to a crime. So I was reading about fornication. It was really interesting. Under this person in the 1700s. And he says, fornication is a crime. It's like adultery, stealing, murder, fornication. It tells us not to do it. Now, if you print a magazine with bad pictures in it, you're actually an accessory to the crime of fornication. Because you're tempting people. Well, I didn't fornicate. You encourage people to fornicate by your language, maybe the way you were talking, by what you were showing them on TV or anything else, and those are accessories to the crime. And so if you saw somebody breaking into the house over here, and you didn't call the police, are you responsible? Yes, you are. And that's called you're an accessory. You should have done something when you didn't do it. So we don't want to be an accessory. Ezekiel 11, verse 22. This is great.
11?
No, 33, verse 11 through 20. And say unto them, as I live, declares my Lord Yahweh, surely I can take no pleasure in the death of the lawless man. Yahweh just cares about people. But he's given us freedom of will, and we can choose to do right. And when we do wrong, we confess it. but that the lawless man may turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your wicked ways. For wherefore should you die, O house of Israel? Thou therefore, son of man, say unto the sons of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. So here's a person who, you know, lived righteously for 20 years, did good things like King Solomon. In the last 5 years, he did really bad things. He made false gods. What's going to happen? And as for the lawlessness of the lawless man, he shall not stumble thereby in the day of his return from his lawlessness, as long as you return from your lawlessness. Now, nor shall the righteous man be able to live thereby in the day of his sin. So you see, I did a lot of good stuff, so I'm in. I mean, I'm going to do some really bad stuff now. But since I've done so many good stuff, I've done 90% bad, good stuff, and I'm going to do 10% bad stuff. And Yahweh's covered it. In verse 13, when I say of the righteous man, he shall surely live, but he that hath trusted in his righteousness and committed perversity, none of his righteous deeds shall be mentioned. But by his perversity which he hath committed, thereby shall he die. And when I say to the lawless man, thou shalt surely die, but he shall turn from his sin. And that was the Apostle Paul. I mean, if you get knocked off a horse and blinded, you really got my attention. That I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I think I'm in the wrong direction. I think I've really pissed somebody off. He knows my name.
He knows where you live.
Yeah, he knows where I live. And so Paul did repent. He didn't eat or drink for 3 days. All right, after that happened to him. But 14, and we saw, and when I say to the lawless man, thou shalt surely die, but he shall turn from his sin and do justice and righteousness. That was King David after he had Uriah killed. The debt pledge. Now, this is very important. You can't just say you're sorry for something. I stole your car. I'm so sorry I wrecked it. Does that make everything all right?
No.
No.
That's
what it's going to say. The debt pledge the lawless man shall restore. Plunder shall do what?
Pay back.
In the statutes of life hath walked so as not to commit perversity. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Now think of this forgiveness. None of his sins which he has committed shall be called to mind against him. You are purged. Wow. But you've got to make right what you did wrong. If you stole something, you got to give it back.
Simple.
The best way that you can. And justice and righteousness hath he done, he shall surely live. I'll stop on that verse. That was in the verse 20. Oh, we'll go to 20. And can the sons of thy people say, the way of the Lord shall not be equaled? Nay, but as for them, their way will not be equal. When the righteous man shall turn from his righteousness and commit perversity, then shall he die for them. But when the lawless man shall turn from his lawlessness and do justice and righteousness, unto them shall he live.
Upon them.
Upon them shall he live. And can ye then say, the way of the Lord will not be equal? Every man according to his own ways, so will I judge you, O house of Israel. So we're all going to be judged, which is great. That's great. Here's some warnings against, let me see here, Christian wrongdoers. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, page 169. If we have some time. And we'll get pretty close. Chapter 6, verses 9 through, or yeah, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. You want to read that, Wendy?
Oh, know ye not that wrongdoers shall not inherit Yahweh's kingdom? Be not deceiving yourselves, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit Yahweh's kingdom. And these things were some of you, but ye bathed them away, but ye were sanctified, but ye were justified,
in the name of our Lord, in the name of Lord Yahushua Mashiach, in the spirit of our God.
We don't have time, but it's also in Galatians 5:19-21, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, Colossians 3:5-7. And I was going to do something else, but I don't think we have time. But we know people who have done this. And
you might not.
Well, they were righteous, and the farthest thing from them, and King Solomon was one of them. Whether he's going to be in the new earth, I don't know. And that was 1 Kings chapter 11. Yahweh appeared to him twice. He was a prophet. He was a son of David. He wrote Proverbs. He wrote Song of Songs. He wrote Ecclesiastics. He wrote books of the Bible. But in the last of his life, he was building altars to gods. And Yahweh said in prophets, and he wouldn't listen to him. So did he finish well?
No,
he did not. So according to Ezekiel, unless he repented on his deathbed, you're not going to be there, which is a sad deal. King Saul was the same way. He was anointed by Yahweh and did not end well at all. The prophet Balaam, was Yahweh actually talking to Balaam?
Yeah.
Yeah, he gave him revelation. Did he end well?
No.
No, he didn't end well at all. Aaron's sons, they actually went to the mountain and was conversing and saw like the manifestation of Yahweh. They came back and tried to do it their own way. And what happened to them?
They
gave a match. Burned up. How about Judas? He was an apostle. Didn't end well. Didn't end well at all. And Jeroboam was anointed by Yahweh, you know, to run the king of Israel, the 10 tribes. Did not end well at all. So one thing we're going to look at is called restitution, and it will end. And Exodus 22, page 105. So we've got to keep this in mind. If we sin,
we all sin.
Well, we're talking about physical sins. You know, you sin in your mind. You know, you think a bad thought. Yeah, and that's true. That's what Romans 1:9. I'm talking about stealing something. And so we're going to see the thought of Yahweh's justice system. Exodus 22, verse 1. When a man steals an ox, is that an accident?
No.
No. Or a sheep, and slayeth it or selleth it, with five of the herd shall he make good. One, he took one, and shall he pay back?
Five.
Ow. That's justice. That's
steal
what Yahweh said.
Steal one turn five.
With five of the herd shall he make good for the ox, or with the four of the flock for the sheep. Four for the sheep, five for the oxen. And so this is, we have to say, this is how Yahweh, he's a God of justice. If in the place of breaking in the thief be found, and he is smitten so that he dieth, there is due for him no shedding of blood. Should the sun have risen upon him, there would be shedding of blood due for him, for he is surely to make restitution. If he have nothing, then is he to be sold for his theft. This is great. You break into my house, you steal my stuff, and you sold it, or whatever, somebody stole it from you, and you have nothing to pay me back, right? You know what I get to do? What's it say, Elijah?
Do you kill him?
No.
Sell him.
Sell him.
Yeah. We're going to sell you. You're a slave. Don't do this.
Not today.
No, but that's justice, because you had no restitution. Because you were injured, so I took, you know, Isaiah's car, smashed it or destroyed it, and I'm broke, and I say, I'm so sorry, Isaiah.
I have no insurance,
I have no money. Does that make you right? No. And so you say, you're going to work, and I'm going to take part of your paycheck until it's all paid back. And that's the same thing here. Well, that's not fair. Yeah, it is. That's a difficult point.
And it's also a deterrent.
Yeah. If the thing stolen is found in his hand, whether ox or sheep or ass or sheep alive, with two shall he make restitution. You find one, you're going to pay me back two. When a man causes a field or a vineyard to be depastured, which means you brought your animals and then they ate everything, or has sent into his own cattle and stripped the field of another, he shall surely make restitution out of his own field according to the yield thereof. Or if all the field be depastured, with the best of his own field or with the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. You're going to give him your field, your restitution. So restitution is very important. So the people in our prison systems, there is no restitution. So they broke into my store, broke my window out, and caused me $10,000 worth of damage, and they go to jail for a year, and they get out. Well, what about me? They should have to work until that's paid back. That's called restitution.
And instead, you pay for their meals and their laundry.
That's right. Verse 6, when a fire breaketh out and hath come upon thorns, and so there is consumed a stack of sheaves or the standing corn or the field, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. Be careful when you're out of fire. I'm sorry. I just burned your whole harvest up. Sorry's not going to make it. No, sorry doesn't make it. No, replace it. And when a man giveth unto his neighbor silver jewelry to keep, and it is stolen out of the house of the man, if the thief be found, he shall give in restitution double. But if the thief be not found, then shall the owner of the house be brought near unto God. Well, I was going to 9. For any affair, trespass, for an ox, for an ass. Let's go here. I guess we'll just stop there. And so that is Yahweh's justice, and that's what we're trying to do.
And the justice is important to you.
Yes. We are restitution.
We are in a war. You guys can't forget that. We have to keep our armor on and do it.
And vengeance is Yahweh. He will repay when the people have done hideous things. Yahweh knows how to take care of it perfectly well. So now we'll hear from our Heavenly Father. We have Holy Ruach. And so we're going to hear speaking in tongues of interpretation and prophecy.
If you come to me, I will reveal things to you. If you ask for more information and confirmation, I'll give it to you. I have a plan for your life, but it's up to you to obey. Who can reward you greater than I? Have I not promised to give you the desires of your heart if you obey me? Will I not reward you and exalt you and set you high like I did my servant David if you obey? Will I not lift you up? Will I not forgive your sins as I did my servant David if you confess them? Know that you're in a relationship with me, and I desire a peace, and I desire a wonderful relationship. I want a peaceful relationship in our house more than you can imagine. But there is no peace to him who sees in secret when you have sins and things that you will not address. So reason with me, and let's deal with these things so we can get their next step forward, so that we can be delivered of unnecessary tension and things. And remember me when I ask you to get rid of sin. Many people forget about me. Until they go through a crisis situation, until harm's way, and then they fall to their knees and they ask. And I do. I'll come to their rescue, but it doesn't have to be that way. Constantly purge yourself like you would constantly groom your child, as you would constantly wipe the snot from their nose, as you would constantly trim their fingernails and wipe their bottom. Do these things to yourself, and as you do so, we can be focusing on the wonderful harvest that I have before you. And I will make an example out of you in this age and the age to come.